Blog Talk Radio.
Be your host. Had some racing this weekend. We've had the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, and the ARCA Series at Talladega. We haven't done any ARCA in a while because, you know, they're spread out and with NHRA and all three NASCAR top touring divisions in action. And we only do an hour show, so, you know, it's a little, let's check out the ARCA results. They were always one of the opening series for NASCAR. They had the General Tire 200, I think, but they merged with, so it's really NASCAR and ARCA are together, so this happened a couple years ago. That's why you have ARCA Menards East and ARCA Menards West, which used to be the K&N East and West on the NASCAR banner. The ARCA has its own minor league system now. And, you know, you grow as a driver. You know, get into motorsports. You work your way up the ladder. Well, you know, the young guys, or some guys ain't so young. They just find their, young guys and ladies. There are ladies that race in ARCA. And that's, you know, the ARCA Menards is the top series in the ARCA reign. So, you know, they're looking to move up the ladder as well. But let's see, in the 76 laps run, now, as far as I know, there is no playoffs in ARCA. You accumulate your points and you finish where you finish. There's no reconfiguration after so many races for the last amount of races, the last 10. All righty. Taking the win in the Yahoo Toyota. I still use Yahoo for my email, so. But Jesse Love. Looks like a rookie. I see a star, an asterisk next to his name, but it doesn't tell you anything what the asterisk stands for. So I'm assuming he's a rookie. Usually they'll say at the bottom of the standings, rookie or whatever. Anyway, second place, Gus Dean, another NASCAR ARCA regular. Brett Holmes is third. In fourth, Andres Perez de Lara. Fifth, Sean Corr. Sixth, Jack Wood. Sorry, dude. You're not in the Dick Trickle category, but your name is close. Seventh is Taylor Gray. I think it's a relation to, might be related to Tanner Gray, but Tanner's now in the truck series, so. Scott Melton in eighth place. Yeah, rookie, the asterisk has to be a rookie, because in ninth place is Frankie Muniz. And if you don't know who that is, there used to be a show on television. It was a regular series, and it was on a few years, so it's, you know, called Malcolm in the Middle. And Frankie played Malcolm. Now, I guess acting got boring, and he wanted to go racing, so now he runs for Rhett Jones Racing. Matter of fact, I've had a few of Rhett Jones's drivers on before, like Dominique Van Wieringen. So maybe I can get Frankie on. Let me see. Let me throw some tentacles out. And rounding out your top 10 is Jason White. Ladies in the field in the 55. I'm sure that's a Venturini car. Is Tony Breidinger. And the other lady, Amber Balsian. That's 31st in the 15. Again, I think that's another Venturini Motorsports car. They're not afraid to put ladies in the vehicles. I wonder what a Sarah Cornett Ching used to run ARCA had a kind of a bad accident there. Pretty much ended her climb to the top, because she was a good driver and had a points finish in the top seven. I think she had surpassed the highest finishing woman in the series, which was Shauna Robinson. So I'm pretty sure that maybe she was able to of course, a couple other drivers that tried and fell a little short. All right. Here's the points as I see it after three races. We had three races. But they will be going to the Monster Mile this weekend, which is Interesting. Greg Van Alst, who had a not so good finish. Yes, Talladega is first. Has a race win, top five, two top tens, no poles. Second, Frankie Muniz. Hey, if an actor can win a stock car championship, what the hell? You have an IndyCar champ, a NASCAR champ, winning an NHRA drag race. And if he wins a NHRA champ, you couldn't call him, you know, the goat instead of the smoke. Or is it smoking goat? I don't know. I'd love the chance to interview him again. Well, I did in a brief thing at PN Zone up in New York when they had Champions Week, you know, prior to the banquet. My two times in New York. They had the drivers, the top 10, you know, top 10 finishers walk around and you try to get a mic in their face and they ask them a question or just get an answer to another one. And then the second year they did it right where they had the drivers all sit in a stool with their PR rep next to them. And I was able to go around and ask some questions to the smoke. I did want to ask him about his pet monkey. I regret doing that at a post-race press conference. Or it might have been a pre-race. Either way, he had a pet monkey. But knowing Tony, I didn't want to get thrown out, beat or whatever. It probably would have got a roar from the rest of the media, but if his monkey was bad, did he ever spank his monkey? But I never did. Maybe it was one of them. I should have waited out and tried a one-on-one thing. What's he going to do? Give me stink eye? But anyway, Tony Constantino is third. Jesse Love, your winner, is fourth. Christian Rose is fifth. Jack Wood is sixth. Seventh is Tyler Reif. Eighth, Connor Mozak. Ninth, I had the flag of the country next to him. Andres Perez de Lara. So I guess that's, I can't tell if it's a Mexican or a Brazilian flag. It's probably a Mexican flag, being with a Spanish name. And rounding out the top 10 is Tony Breidinger. Okay, let's see where Ark is next. I just said it'll be a Dover, a monster mile. I used to go there. Now I live so far away. But neither here nor there. Let's take a look around. See how many other ladies. Where is Amber? Ooh, Natalie Decker is 30th. She's been in one race. She hasn't been doing too well. Amber Balsian is 20th. So, we have one lady in the top 10. Mandy Chick. That's got to be a girl. And Daytona and Talladega. Just gives you what they've done. Two starts. Top one top five and one top ten. One DNF. Total winnings, zero. Well, that's not good. The way ARCA has their things set up, it's kind of strange. Just go to there, and then go to that page, and go back there. Ah, here we go. They're in alphabetical order. It is a girl. Haha, Mandy Chick. I finally figured out. Go to drivers and click on their name, and then you'll... It brings up their bio. Their bio. Yep. Malcolm looks like Malcolm, only older. Career stats, the guy's only got 1 year in. He was in Formula BMW USA Championship. And other, says Fox's Malcolm in the Middle, among other TV shows and movies. And then went to Champ Car Atlantic Champion, fourth in the championship series before a season-ending injury. And he has multiple top 10 finishes in the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race events. So, not doing too bad. And he drives a Ford now, so that's a good thing. I was interested in his racing background, so it's not like just said, oh, let's go ARCA race. And he had been running the sports cars and all that West Coast road course stuff. And he was fourth in the 2009 championship standings for the Champ Car Atlantic Championship before an injury. That always sucks when you're doing good. So he's actually got some talent. And... he's got a marketable name. He's identifiable. Date of birth, 85. He's almost 40. He's 38. He'll be 38 in December, 39 next year, and 40 in 2025. So he's still pretty young. That's cool. You're on my radar, Frankie. Get to the week of Talladega. First up. We have the Xfinity Series. This got to be a crazy day. Took some overtime time. Jeb Burton wound up taking home the checkered flag. Ooh, of course, his brother's Harrison Burton, or is it his cousin? One's Jeb Burton, one's Ward Burton's son, the other's Jeff Burton's son, I think. I think Harrison is Ward Burton's son. And Jeb is Jeff Burton's son. We've actually had Jeff Burton on the show. He was getting ready to do an appearance at the Ollie's that was just opening up in Bluefield, West Virginia. Guess who lives near Bluefield, West Virginia? You got it. This guy. So, you know, figure we have him on. He's in the local hood, and he didn't have Ollie's as a sponsor, but they hired him to do a, you know, autograph session. It ain't the first time. Like, there was a Texaco station near where I used to live that I used to go past every day, and Davey Allison was there the phone before. Having killed in a weird helicopter crash at, speaking of which, Talladega. Talladega's had some, you know, as far as being the longest race of the year, well, as far as on the longest track, the longest race is the Coke 600, but you get what I'm at. Okay, Jeb Burton. Sheldon Creed was second. Parker Kligerman. I've had him on. He was third. Parker is usually in. He was a pit reporter for NBC, so when they switch networks halfway through the year, Parker will be in the pits. And I guess he'll be double-teaming it, running some races and events that he's not working the mic. Cole Custer was fourth. Brennan Poole was fifth. Cesar Baccarella was sixth. Seventh was Parker Retzlaff. He's a rookie. Gray Golding was eighth. Joey Gase was ninth. And Josh Williams rounds out the top ten. Okay. Jeb wins stage two, so he gets 6 playoff points. Justin Allgaier wound up winning stage one, but he was involved in a wreck with a bunch of others. Sam Mayer, Josh Berry. It was kind of weird because that wreck was all 3 out of 4 junior motorsports drivers. They were all running up near the front. I forget who got turned, and that was about where the big one come in. But the race took 3 hours and 33 seconds, no minutes. Average speed, 106.96 mile an hour. Margin of victory, 0.113 seconds. Obviously, it didn't end under caution, but it was it was a good run. So I think both of the guys were on the same team anyway. It was Burton's second Xfinity Series victory. Place to get your second, Talladega. There's ones that you want to win. At least in my opinion, it's Daytona, because that's, you know, iconic, whether it's the 500, which is the Super Bowl of NASCAR. Talladega, because it's another restricted play track. There's only 2. I'd like, you know, personally, Martinsville would be nice with that grandfather clock. And if I was actually racing, I would want to win what used to be my home track as far as going to is Dover. Miles the Monster Trophy. Something different, you know, not your typical copper bowl on a pedestal. All righty. Let's see, Jason White, Jesse Awuji, David Starr, and Mike Harmon failed to qualify. 10 cautions for 48 laps and 28 lead changes amongst 12 drivers. Let's check the points. see where they stand. After Talladega, we have Austin Hill leading the points. He's locked in with 3 wins. John Hunter Nemechek is locked in with 2 wins in second. Chandler Smith, a rookie, locked in the third. Oh, he's locked in with 1 win. He's in third. Then you have Riley Herbst, fourth. Josh Berry, fifth. Justin Allgaier, sixth. No wins. Seventh, Cole Custer, Sheldon Creed in eighth, and in ninth with a win, Sammy Smith, so he's locked in. And then 10th is Daniel Hemric, Parker Kligerman, and Sam Mayer is in the 12th spot. But the caveat is Jeb Burton with the win, who's in 13th, bumps up, he's locked in, and poor Sam is down a spot with no wins. And that's how it goes. Okay, let's see here from some performers during the race. Let's go with here's where NASCAR, what they do is, prior to the race, where Jeb win, before that, they had the ARCA race. And let's hear from Jesse Love on winning the ARCA series race at Talladega.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to continue with our media availabilities today, now with our ARCA race winner, Jesse Love. Congratulations on that win. Take us through those final few laps from your vantage point in the car.
Well, it was really calm, and then I was expecting it to get hectic, and then it was still really calm. It was calm all the way until we were, like, off of four, and I was like, it's not going to be like this, right? It's 23 backs up. I'm all over the brake pedal. Might as well downshift to third, just trying to keep the 25 hooked up with me. And I know he's in the drag back, and I don't want to get too far out in front. So just, I think, the last two laps I was on the brake pedal half the lap, just trying to keep everyone bunched up and try to control the run that the 23 I knew wanted to get. And then we come up four, and then Tyler Mott, my spotter, he was just telling me to get up, try to get their air push, bubble push, and then get back down. And then once I heard him say, you know, down, he loved to say that. And once I heard you say that, I kind of knew that we had it. But I didn't really know what to expect because I didn't really have control of the race with a small pack of cars. I knew that there's two Toyotas and there's three Chevys, and as the three Chevys go, they're going to have more energy. So all I was trying to do was just make sure that there wasn't enough energy behind me to get a big enough run.
All right, we're now going to go to questions. We'll work to get a mic. So you guys just keep your hands up, and we'll start up front with Noah.
Noah Lewis, PSJ Sports. Hello. You were obviously very emotional in your front stretch interview there post-race. This is obviously a special win for you. You also mentioned, I think, your mom in that post-race interview. So can you just elaborate on how special this is, especially with her being here?
Yeah, I don't have my phone on me, but if I did, I'd look at my stat book that I have. I ran second the last year and a half, I think 22 times, and that sucks. So running second that many times, leading races, like leading that Phoenix and having that what happened there happen, that stuff just weighs on you, right? No matter how good you think you are, it weighs on you. So to kind of go through a race and finally get one and earn it, right, that just kind of changes your mindset. And I've been waiting on that. I've been going through a lot emotionally, just trying to stay positive but also stay confident, right? And it just feels good to know that what you're doing is right at the end of the day. You know, my mom doesn't get to come a lot of these races. She's always back home working and making sure that our family life is secure, and obviously I moved away from home at about 15 years old, so, you know, it might get a little emotional, but I didn't get a whole lot of time with my mom and my dad the last, 3 years. So to win when my mom's here, like at the race that she wanted to go to the most, just made me feel really good. And she's definitely my source of, motivation all day today.
All right, we have a question here in the middle.
Christian Coley, KickingTheTires.net. Towards the end of the race, it seemed like there was a big gap between most of the lead pack. You know, you talked about dragging the brakes that last two laps. You know, how much of a kind of mirror driving did you have to do in that final few laps? And, you know, what were you prepared to do if you had more than one car try to pass you?
Well, I knew that I was fine with wrecking it if it gave me a better shot at probably winning the race. But luckily, I have a great spotter. I don't got to look in my mirror too much. I trust him. I know what he's saying and why he's saying it. And he paints a really good picture, Tyler does. So my mirrors don't really work that well anyway because you can't see up the left side because the window nets are so big. And my rearview mirror, that thing just rattles. So you can barely even see out of it. So luckily, I have a really good spotter that I don't have to really worry about that stuff. But, yeah, once we kind of fanned out like you do all the time at Talladega, I was just trying to, cover whatever lane I could. And, honestly, whatever Tyler told me to do, I was just going to do. But I got a lot of trust in him, so I was willing to do just about anything to win the race, and I was fine with, ending up in the catch fence if it meant that I wouldn't run second.
There you have Jesse Love, your ARCA winner. Surprised they didn't have Frankie Muniz on for a press conference, stick him in front of there and have people ask him some questions. But no such love. Okay, going to the Xfinity Series, here's your winner there, Jeb Burton.
All right, you ready to roll?
Ready.
We'll get you out of here. That way you can go have that beer.
Lighten you guys up a little bit. I think everybody needs a beer or something. Everybody's
quiet. It's been a long day, right?
Yeah, it's been a long day.
All right. We've now been joined by our NASCAR Xfinity Series race winner in today's Ag Pro 300, which is Jeb Burton. And, Jeb, congratulations on that win today. I know your journey to victory lane has been one that has been hard fought, and especially since the last time you visited Victory Lane. If you don't mind, just take us through some of that and really what your mindset was as you took the green on those final laps.
Yeah. Is this work? Is it work?
Yeah, I think
so.
There you go.
Yeah, it's been tough, the last couple of years, just being in the right situation. And today, when I opened my eyes, I told my buddy Ethan that he does our PR and stuff, and I was coming here to win that race. And I just love racing at Talladega and Daytona. It's a lot of fun. Should have won some other races, but those races I've lost, I've learned a lot. And just been lucky to be in some good cars at these places, and I got a really good spotter, Mike Herman. Him and I are on the same page and worked great together all day. And it's just so huge for our team to be locked in the playoffs. Small team. We ran up front all day too. It wasn't a fluke. The last race we won, it was a rain delay, but we ran up I ran up front all day on that one too. So the only thing I'm disappointed about, I didn't get to do a burnout. I did a little bit of one, and I went to shift in second gear, and I blew the transmission out. So that's the only thing I messed up today. We're doing all right.
But we got a trophy.
Yeah, we got a trophy.
And a playoff spot.
So Jordan sent me a email on Thursday about an invoice he got from me doing something stupid on the racetrack. And I told him I was going to make it up to him. So
more than makes up for
it. Yeah, so we're all right now.
I didn't even put a comment. I just said FYI.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, I got it.
Here we
are. I got it.
And, Jordan, for you, before we go to questions, obviously a big change since last time we were at Talladega for you as well. Just tell us a little bit about what that felt like to see Jeb cross that finish line in your car.
So this past week I told the guys in the shop, I said, I just got a good feeling about this weekend. You know, everybody has been working so extremely hard. They've overcome a lot in the shop, overcome a lot on the racetrack, and just really believe in the vision of what we're trying to do here, and Jeb's been hungry all year. We've been so close to having some really, really good runs. And just coming the weekend, this is one of those races we've had circled on the calendar all year because they're opportunity races for a team like ours. If we do our homework, we put the effort in, give Jeb a good piece, let him do the rest. These are races that teams like us can win. And, you know, to come down here and both our cars qualify in the top 10, to win a stage, and then I didn't even know 31 finished seventh. Like, to have both cars finish in the top 10, a win and a seventh was absolutely phenomenal for us, and just definitely proves what we're trying to do here, that we want to be here for long haul. I know Jeb wants to continue to grow his career and keep taking off. And, you know, that was kind of a point where I think it's almost 6 months since what happened here at Talladega last fall. And my wife was here with me today. She was here back then. And we were just talking, like, what a roller coaster of emotions of this place. Like, you know, you roll in the tunnel for the first time. You think, like, yeah, last time I was here, I didn't even drive out of the tunnel. I went out of here in a helicopter. And to think about that and kind of all
now
that.
Now you can drive down here with a buzz.
And a big trophy. And, man, so to overcome all that stuff and, you know, to just think about that and all we went through and the emotions. And from day one, this team, when it got started in 2018, it was kind of an opportunity for me to keep my racing career going, that it was like, all right, I want to race, but whenever it's time for me to hang up the helmet, I want to keep this team growing bigger than what I am. And, you know, this thing we joke and talk about all the time, but it literally started in, you know, two trucks and a dually and a gooseneck. And, you know, what is this, 5 years later, to win a NASCAR race, to accomplish the goal, you know, the first goal of many more things we want to accomplish is pretty amazing. I feel like life has a way of, there's always silver lining. Like I tell my guys all the time that we just got to embrace the journey. And they say, well, what does embracing the journey mean? That, you know, I don't, and this is the way I look at life, is nothing bad ever happens. You can learn from it, become a better person. And I look at what happened last year, wasn't a bad thing. It made me stronger, made my family stronger, made me stronger in my faith. I believe that God has everything happen for a reason. And, you know, brought Jeb and I together, brought Shane, our crew chief, together, and you look at all the stuff that's happened and all the people that he's brought in our path, like a lot of answer prayers from last year. To just sit here today with just a couple of scars was a lot, you know, watching Larry on Fox today, Ken and I were watching, I about teared up watching it, thinking about it all, but it's like of all places, our first win here at Talladega is pretty special. And I even, when they were talking about Jeb, and he's like, he's the only previous winner here in the field. I'm like, all right, he's going to bring it home for
we're
us.
We're still like that.
We're still like that. So
we don't race here again until next year, so we're the only one.
That's it. Hold that title for another year.
All right. We'll go ahead and go to questions. I know we have a couple, so we'll work to get a mic around. We will start with Justin. We'll go to John and then Steve, and then Bob. All right. We'll get started.
Justin Schuler, Kicking the Tires. I have two. First for Jeb, what does this win mean in comparison to your first win here a couple of years ago?
I think it's the first win was special and big, for sure. I think it helped me continue my career. And this win right here is just as big. I think this win is even just as special because it's with a team that, you know, like Jordan said, has came from a late model hauler to what it is now. And it's growing. We're still not where we want to be. Like, these guys are working every week to make our – we need to make our mile and a half cars better, our short track cars better. We're still not where we want to be. And Jordan's working hard, and Shane and Jordan believe in me and have got my mojo back. I feel confident when I get in the race car. I've went through some things in the off season, and I'm happier now than I've been in a long time. And I'm surrounded myself with some really good people, and I'm having fun at the racetrack again, and just thankful for the opportunity.
Right, Jordan Anderson is the team owner. Now remember this, Jordan Anderson was driving for Tracy Lowe, who used to be with Beaver Motorsports. She was a co-owner. Now, her and Mark Beaver split ways, and, you know, they still do their thing. And Tracy, you know, had her own thing. She had equipment from Mike Harmon, which turned out to be Mike turned out to be a despicable person. And And I had Mike on the show because he had the fans, you know, the fans, you know, sponsored the car, so to speak, and, you know, you get a T-shirt and all that kind of stuff. And, he, you know, this is back in my old NJC days. Well, needless to say, Jordan Anderson would drive Tracy's truck. And I found out about him through two young ladies up in Maine, who I call the NASCAR twins. And pretty much they got a good following because they're avid NASCAR fans. And they get, you know, they're always in the pits and all that. It was the Cody sisters. And they, you know, told me about Jordan. I said, okay, I'll get him on. So I tried to get them on as well, but they have day jobs, and they were working, so they couldn't do that. But anyway, that being said, Jordan Anderson also just worked his way to where he could become a team owner and, you know, have his own equipment instead of having to rent stuff. There's a lot of drivers will pay somebody to drive their vehicle. I know a few people that have done that. That's how I met well, he didn't pay for it, but he was part of the Beaver Motorsports was TJ. A guy named TJ. I can't remember his last name. I'm drawing a blank. Because I'm just pulling this stuff out of my head. But I can probably TJ Bell. He used to be their truck series driver, so. Sorry about that. I had a little mental flatulation. But that's neither here nor there. And, you know, Jordan, now he's got his own team, and he's actually got some drivers, and lo and behold, he wins Talladega. So it's good to see a startup actually get a win. So, and have a known driver drive for him. I think his teammate was a second place driver. So it was a good 1-2 finish for Jordan Anderson Motorsports or Racing. Jordan Anderson Racing. He went racing instead of motorsports. So it's a jar instead of jam. Yeah. So. All righty. Let's go to our cup coverage. And there's something I'm not used to seeing very often. Well, you're used to seeing it because he wins a good bit of races. But it's the car he's driving. Taking the checkered flag after an incident on the last lap, where it was Kyle Busch, Ryan Blaney, Bubba Wallace. Bubba was actually on the outside. It was on a restart, and this was in overtime. And Bubba was getting the lead, but somehow Ryan Blaney right behind him wound up getting him loose, and Bubba went out sideways, and being it was after the white flag, there was no restart. With Bubba being spun out, gave Kyle Busch the lead, and then Ryan Blaney was second. I think he was trying to push Kyle because they were all just about out of gas because they had a few overtimes to to go through just to get that. So, therefore, it didn't happen. Kyle Busch did win the race. I said it was 15 years since his last Talladega win. And seeing Kyle drive a Chevy for the first time in since he started, is he started with Hendrick coming up through the Trucks and then Xfinity Series. And they actually made the 18-year-old rule because of him, because he was 17 and he couldn't get to the Cup Series. Might have even been in NASCAR, anyone, either the trucks, because I think he wound up going to ARCA for, I guess, to finish out a season. But he was only 17, so when he turned 18, it was a different story. He could, you know, he was able to get to the Cup Series. Of course, after Hendrick, he went to Joe Gibbs Racing, and the rest is history. So this is the first time Kyle Busch has driven something other than a Gibbs car. I know Joe Gibbs did start with Chevys and then went to Toyotas. And but I have to go back a few years to find out if he had a Chevy when Kyle came up or Toyotas. But either way, neither here nor there. But Kyle back in a Chevy. So he went from Hendrick to Gibbs, where he won, was a championship driver there. Now he's with Richard Childress in the 8 car, the number formerly used by Dale Jr. and that being said, Dale Jr. did want to have the 8 car when he switched teams to Hendrick, but Theresa Earnhardt, Jr.'s stepmom, after his dad died, wouldn't give up the number. She was what you call, starts with a C and rhymes with a runt, apparently. So, of course, ECR did the engine development, which was Earnhardt Childress Racing. They kind of had like a bond going because Dale drove for Childress, even though he had his own Cup teams. So, that's neither here nor there. But Kyle Busch is now driving the 8 car. Dale Jr. is retired, has his own team, so things change over the course of time. And his own podcast as well. Okay, Ryan Blaney second. Chris Buescher was third. Chase Briscoe was fourth. Brad Keselowski fifth. Eric Jones sixth. William Byron seventh. Christopher Bell eighth. I think he's the first Gibbs driver. And Daniel Suarez ninth and Todd Gilliland rounds out the top 10. Your stage winners were Chase Elliott taking stage 1 and Eric Amarola taking stage 2. The race was 3 hours 33 minutes and 25 seconds. Average speed 146.575. Margin of victory under caution. All right, Kyle Busch, it's his 62nd Cup Series victory now. Alrighty, 8 cautions for 34 laps. It's kind of hard to believe. Talladega, yeah, 34 laps. Okay, we had a couple incidents. Stopped on pit road to 45. Number 34 incident in turn 4. 3 laps there. Stage 1. And then no cautions till the end of stage 2. And then all hell broke loose. All righty. Let's check the standings and then we'll go to the audio. Driver points. Okay. With the win. Well, Kyle actually has a win already this year, so he's already locked in. He's got 2 wins, so Christopher Bell leads the points with a win. Ross Chastain, Kevin Harvick, 2nd and 3rd, no wins. 4th, 5th, and 6th is Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, and Tyler Reddick. All have wins. Larson with 2, Busch with 2, Reddick with 1. 7th, 8th, and 9th, Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Blaney, and Alex Bowman, no wins. 10th, 11th, and 12th, Denny Hamlin, no wins. Joey Logano in 11th, Brad Kay in 12th. Logano with a win. He won last week. At 13th, Ricky Stenhouse with a win. 14th, William Byron with 2 wins. Chase Briscoe in 15th with no wins. And on the bubble, he's got a good bit of points, 11-point difference. Chris Buescher with no wins. Anybody else with a win down the ladder? No. All righty. Let's get our winner, Kyle Busch. Oh, good. He's by himself. I don't have to. See, now I got the crew chief and Childress in one clip and then Kyle on the other one. That's how it should be.
We are now going to roll into our post-race press conference with our race winner in today's Geico 500 at Talladega Super Speedway. We've now been joined by the driver of number 8, Chevrolet Kyle Busch. Kyle, congratulations on that win. 10 races into the season, you now have two wins with your team at RCR. Just tell us a little bit about those final laps and really what it means to have 2 wins in the books at this point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot, obviously. Just, you know, last time I won here 15 years ago, my first year with JGR, and here we are, my first year with RCR, being able to get back to victory lane at Talladega. So it's been a little bit, but it's really cool to welcome on a new partner of ours with McLaren Custom Grills to score a win with them with RCR and Team Chevy to get that Camaro in victory lane here. You know, it's really, really good for us. We're obviously short on fuel and kind of stretching it. I don't think we would have taken that chance. I probably wouldn't have taken that chance of staying out if it wasn't for the win in Fontana. So obviously that kind of opened up our playbook and really, you know, gave us a chance to be up front, restart up front, and go for a win today. So, yeah, just being in the right place at the right time. Sometimes you got to be lucky, and feels good to have that. And I'm sure all of you guys are going to be going to Cheddar's tomorrow for your free tender meal. And as I probably need to send Rexon over there, we get some of our own.
All right. We'll now go to questions. If you have a question for Kyle, raise your hand. I'll work to get a mic around, and we'll start with Jeff.
So I was confused because it sounded like he was trying to call you to pit road, and then you were, like, too late, like you were past it, but we didn't really have a good view on TV. So what exactly was the sequence there of you guys talking about that?
Yeah. I guess I, in my own mind, was like, there's no way you come to pit road and just throw away your day. Like, your day's done, you know. And we didn't have any stage points. We had nothing at that point in the race, you know. So I was just like, why not just take the chance? And so he said pit, 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 and I was like, it's a good thing it's too late anyway. So, you know, I knew I wasn't going to get it in there, but also I wouldn't have anyways. I would have just taken the chance and just said, you know what, roll the dice, let's go.
All right, go ahead.
Christian Coley, kickingthetires.net. You kind of had struggled at super speedways before you came to RCR. How much has joining RCR helped you kind of gain your confidence and everything as a plate racer. I mean, because of the first two plate races we've had this year, you've been contending for the victories.
Yeah, we didn't. I wouldn't say today we contended much. You know, we got up front there for a little bit, and then we came off of pit road really, really good in that second stage, I believe, behind Chase, and the 24 was with us, and then we caught up with the Fords, and then we all got miscongobulated, and it shucked me to the back, so then I was in the back again, and the 9 was able to, I think he won that stage, so that must have been, yeah, the finish of stage 2. So, yeah, just, we our average running position and where we ran for most of the day wouldn't have showed that we contended much, but, you know, take them as they come. And it was just, you know, like a 200-mile-an-hour parade lap. It's just hard to make passes and get enough room in the middle to make a move up the middle or get enough of a gap to the inside where you can fall in and then try to cycle up and get a gap to the outside and cycle up. And, you know, just was really hard.
All right, we're going to go to Steve and then John.
Steve Conley, the podium finish. Kyle, you referenced the 15 years in between your Super Speedway wins. Did you ever feel that Lady Luck was going to shine back on you and have the luck here at the end of the race to survive one of these and be in that position?
Well, ever since 2015 struck, I've always just hoped to walk out of a Speedway race at the end of the day. So, you know, when you're able to do that, you might as well take solace in it, and you know, it's not a win, but at least you're going home on your own 2 feet. So, you know, these races, they're all hard to win, but especially Speedway races are hard to win. You got 30 guys out there vying for it as well, too, that have a legit shot to win, just barring different circumstances, you know. So there were some wrecks in front of us today. We were able to squeak through and not get caught up in it, fortunately, which isn't a whole lot of my luck here. So we'll take this one for sure.
And I ask,
there you have your race winner, Kyle Busch. Wow, didn't realize that. I guess so. Well, you figure now Kyle's the winningest Xfinity Series driver. It might be the winningest. You know, I got to go take a look at most Truck Series wins. If he's not there, he's almost there. I know he said when he got to 100 wins in the Xfinity Series, he was going to park that ride. Well, from him driving it, I'm sure he has other drivers. But, well, there you have it, Kyle Busch. He always gets a bad rep for his attitude, but you can't deny his talent. All righty, what do we got? The Monster Mile. We got Xfinity. We got ARCA actually there this weekend instead of, well, that's right. We got the Xfinity Series. It was always NASCAR K&N East, and then Xfinity, and then Cup. Actually, I take that back. I'm an idiot. It used to be the Truck Series. Friday on the first race. The second race was the K&N Series. Truck race was Friday, Xfinity Saturday, and the Cup Series was Sunday. And this weekend, the A-Game 200 will be 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox Sports 1. And on the Cup side, the Worth, got two little dots above the U. Used to be Brad Keselowski's sponsor when he drove for Penske. We'll be at 2 on the 30th, Sunday, also on Fox Sports 1. So there you have it. I'm Vinny B. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.